KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host. We'd like to thank our sponsors, all you people out there that have supported us in the community. And you can, I guess today's, I got a little bit of a headache here right now.
You know, it is September 14th.
I was going to say I forgot to change the date. September 14th, you're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. Let's see. We're streaming worldwide. You can get onto the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. You can friend me on Facebook at Mark E. Kent. Our first quote is, may your trails be crooked, windy, lonesome, and dangerous, leading to the most amazing views. May your mountains rise into and above the clouds. That's Edward Abbey.
All right.
So, veterans.
Veteran stuff. Today we have at the Veterans Hall, we have Veterans Advocate of the Year Awards Banquet going on. Social hour will start at 5 p.m., dinner at 6. Dinner tickets are $15. You can get them at Classic Cafe or the NorCal Veterans Museum. And so that will be tonight. Also coming up on September 28th, that's going to be a real busy day. Missing in America Project is having their cook-off out at the Shasta District Fairgrounds on the 28th from 12 to 7 p.m. Admission for that's $10. If you're interested, give 530-215-0987 a call. Also on that day is the MASH Bash, and that is to help support the Veterans Museum and Heritage Center out there. That will be on September 28th from at 5:30 p.m. to 11. That will be out on Flight Avenue, 3770 Flight Avenue. Tables are 400. If you're interested, you can pick up tickets at Fort Jones or call 378-2280. And don't forget, also, Missing in America Project will be doing their Fall Honors Out West mission coming up in October, and they will be going across four states. I believe they have almost 200 veterans to lay to rest in their final resting place. So if you're interested in sponsoring or helping them out, give Fred a call at 226-9900.
All righty then. A couple of news items, and then we'll play a clip from Santelli. Did you get that keyed up? Okay, cool. So first thing I want to talk about here is Morgan whistleblowers confess bank manipulation on gold and silver. This should be coming out in the news here pretty quick. So evidently, it's finally happened to the point where I think we're going to have a mainstream problem here. Two J.P. Morgan whistleblowers have confessed that the bank manipulates the gold and silver markets. This is truly a shocking admission by the courageous J.P. Morgan whistleblowers. In a blockbuster King World News interview, London metals trader Andrew McGuire told King World News that two J.P. Morgan employees came directly to him with hard evidence that the bank was actively manipulating the gold and silver markets. This is truly catastrophic for J.P. Morgan, which is up to now has denied manipulation of these markets. Below McGuire, this is reading the article here, takes KWN King World News readers around the world on a trip down the rabbit hole as he discusses how he led the two JP Morgan employees to turn over the evidence to a law firm that specializes in high-profile whistleblowers and also to the CFTC. According to McGuire, the CFTC has virtually buried the information. Is this a cover-up or the next LIBOR scandal about to be exposed? Below is, so you can go to King World News and read that or go to goldsilver.com. But this is a smoking gun, and I don't think they're going to be able to bury this. Keep your fingers crossed, because, you know, there's been a five-year investigation going on that hasn't surfaced. But at this point in time, because of the proof, I don't think the CFTC can now avoid it. And they're saying that there's going to be charges filed in September, and there's about 7 or 8 charges. So we'll keep up with this and see where it goes. Let's see, no support for Al-Qaeda in Syria. So I just signed a petition that we're not going to support Al-Qaeda in Syria. We're already giving them arms. It sounds like there's already some Marine boots that are going heading that way. Anybody who thinks that we should support Al-Qaeda, you know, against the totalitarian regime of Assad, really? I mean, I can't even believe people are even seriously contemplating this. I mean, you listen to O'Reilly, crazy, and the guy's so far out in left field, it's ridiculous. So, with that, I mean, I got another headline here. Nearly 18 million U.S. households, this is from Reuters. Reuters? How do you say Reuters?
Reuters?
That sounds funny no matter how you say it. Nearly 18 million U.S. households experienced difficulty in getting enough food to eat in 2012. So, you know, I've been, somebody told me the other day, hey, you know, you've been saying this for 4 or 5 years and, you know, isn't Chicken Little, you know, I'm thinking, how bad does it have to get before you believe that there's something wrong?
Yeah, how much pain do we have to endure before we realize, you know, that something's
it's
not right?
It's going to get worse, but, you know, the question you got to ask yourself, is it been getting better or worse? And, you know, this recovery that we keep hearing the word over and over and over, no matter which, you know, mainstream media program you tune into, is there a recovery going on, or are we going into a Great Depression and nobody wants to admit it because it's not politically correct, because Obama, our savior and messiah, you know, wants us to believe that he's doing a good job and everything's getting better. So you can make up your own mind on that. But maybe you might want to look at the underlying evidence and quit looking at just the Dow and do a little homework out there on things so that you can maybe do enough homework for yourself to make a competent decision. So with that, let's play the Santelli rant and then we'll go to a break.
With the Santelli Exchange live in Chicago. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Simon. Quickly, let's look at the important date of the day. University of Michigan Sentiment Survey definitely laid a bit of an egg. We could also argue so did retail sales for 2 months running. But when it comes to University of Michigan or any confidence index, the one thing I will say is that much research has been done. Confidence doesn't move markets. The markets move the dial on confidence. Enough said. Now, there was a poll out that's raised many eyebrows. Many eyebrows. We had a guest this morning that talked about the poll, and what the poll generally shows, and we'll get to more details, is that Americans aren't really into raising the debt ceiling. Here's what Ben White from Politico had to say on our show. I think it's because Americans don't understand what the debt ceiling is. It's complicated. It's complicated. So basically, listeners, if you're listening on the radio, or if you're watching me right now, you're just too darn stupid to get it. Too darn stupid to get it. The hubris. The hubris. So let me see. Let's only poll all the Princeton and the Harvard professors and all the people that are writing for places like Politico. Let's only poll them because they know you don't know anything. But let's switch gears a bit. Let's now look at another category called the giant leap of faith category. Let me see. That the Fed can really move unemployment, although it doesn't look like it. That the economy is humming along to totally support the levels of equities. That corporate profits at record levels doesn't mean that all these programs are only helping those at the top, even though it's supposedly for everybody in the middle. We're supposed to take all that on a leap of faith. But when I look at the recent Rupee poll, okay, here's what I see, okay? And I'll tell you what. Congress, you really ought to listen up. Those Tea Party conservatives, listen up. because 70% oppose raising the debt ceiling and 55% oppose raising it, even if it means default. Okay, now get this. 63% say Congress is out of touch. Okay, now if I look at those three things, you know what I see? I see the 2010 midterms. Look at it from a different light. Americans know exactly what they want, and they're not getting it from Congress. Although Lois Lerner certainly pulled the plug on free speech with regard to those conservatives. And the last point, remember the rant? Let's put these things up for a referendum. Well, gee, that didn't happen, because 61% of Americans say transparency. Can't see it at all in this administration. Back to you.
Yep. Santelli and his famous rants. Another good one. And, yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point that everybody, unless you're, you know, in the Kool-Aid pool, you know, you can't keep covering this up, and you can't keep saying that we're in recovery and something's not wrong.
Yep. Anyway. And I guess with that, we're going to go to a break. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Growing local, Healthy Shasta and the First United Methodist Church invite the community to a free film screening of Participant Media's highly acclaimed documentary, A Place at the Table, on Saturday, September 21st at 6 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church, 1825 East Street in downtown Reading. This gripping documentary will raise awareness about the growing issues of hunger and poverty in America. Following will be a short discussion of local hunger issues. For more information, call 355-9683.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has two maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now. Advance past pain and get on with living.
Icy Hot Advanced. Available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
Hey, football fans, Nate Abarea here. It's that time of the year. The helmets are strapped, the lights are on, and high school football is back on your radio. We'll be bringing you local gridiron action all season long with live game broadcasts from all around the North State. It's Friday Night Football right here on KCNR 1460, the pulse of Shasta County and Redding's new home for high school football.
Experience Lake Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
Back, Sovereign Mind Radio. That's Cherry Bomb, John Cougar Mellencamp. I'm not sure if he goes by Cougar Mellencamp anymore. It might be just John Mellencamp. Anyway, we are expecting our guest to be with us here soon.
Shortly.
Andrew Gause from One Radio Network, I believe, is the his website. And so we're trying to get a hold of him right now. In the meantime, I will I will give a couple of pieces of information out. I have a story here from Dan from Squirrel Hill's blog. You can go to danfromsquirrelhill.wordpress.com. And Obama supporters will go hysterical over this well-sourced list of 252 examples of his lying, law-breaking, and corruption, cronyism, and et cetera. So, I mean, gee, only 252 examples?
Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff everybody already knows, you know, carried out military intervention in Libya without congressional approval, gave a no-bid contract to Halliburton, just like Bush did. Has an administration full of lobbyists after promising he wouldn't have any. Has close ties to Wall Street, but pretends he supports Occupy Wall Street. Broke his promise to close Guantanamo Bay. Everybody knows about that one. Supported the $700 billion TARP corporate welfare bailout, just like Bush. Waged the biggest war against medical marijuana of any president, which is exactly the opposite of what he promised. Let's see. Nominated a 6 times tax cheater to the head, to head the government agency that enforces tax laws. That'd be little Timmy Geithner.
Yeah.
Prior to his nomination, Geithner had illegally failed to pay more than $34,000 in Social Security and Medicare taxes, illegally declared the cost of his children's summer camp as a form of daycare, illegally failed to pay the early withdrawal penalty when he took the money out of his retirement plan, illegally declared non-eligible items as charitable deductible, illegally declared something which was ineligible as a small business deduction, illegally declared utility expenses, which had actually been for his personal use. Okay, so I think we've got our guest, but it's going to be a couple minutes before he gets on the line. Number 9, gave tax dollars to AIG executives and then pretended to be outraged about it. These are all well-sourced. You can look these up if you want to. I'm not going to take the time to go through the details. Expanded Bush's unconstitutional government faith-based programs. Supported Bush's unconstitutional Patriot Act. You got a theme going here. Him and Bush seem to be on the same line here on a lot of this stuff. Increased the national debt more in one term than Bush did. Yeah, but this is all Bush's fault.
Yeah, it is. If he wouldn't have started the trend, I mean, you know.
He started all these things, so why shouldn't I finish them? Because?
Yeah. Got to keep it going.
Agrees with Bush's support of unconstitutional indefinite detention of U.S. citizens without any charges. Agrees with Bush's support of unconstitutional warrantless wiretapping. Avoided prosecution of Wall Street criminals. Had 4 U.S. citizens killed without judicial process. Ordered private, but we want to give the Muslims judicial process. You know, the Muslim terrorists that have supposedly done all these things. We want to make sure that they get tried in U.S. court.
Yeah, fair trial. No problems.
It makes you wonder what was, why the drone strikes. That's another thing. We talk about this gassing thing, you know, and Assad. I mean, you got O'Reilly up there spouting Assad and Putin. These guys are thugs and criminals and war crimes and all this crap. And it's like, let's see, and Obama's been drone striking American citizens and people in, Iraq,
yeah, that's not
and
a big
Afghanistan
deal.
And,
you know, using the drones, shooting people down,
there's some kind of moral equivalent there. It's like unbelievable. Stolen money from retired teachers and police officers. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I have to read that one later. Supported release of convicted mass murderer. In 2010, Obama supported releasing Lockerbie bomber Abdel Bassat al-Megiri, who had been convicted of murdering 270 people from prison. Let him go.
But that was okay.
Because
he was dying or something. He had cancer, he has some rights there, right?
Yeah, there's no Muslim bias going on here. He's a Christian. Come on.
So what?
Even though he's running guns into the hands of, was that maybe what Benghazi was about? That they were running, you know, surface-to-air missiles
How did the guns get in the annex in the first place, I wonder?
Yeah, and they're running surface-to-air missiles to the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda in Syria to attack Assad. And he's not a thug, but Putin and Assad are, which they very well may be, but somehow or another, he's not, even though.
I mean, you can't make it up, folks.
Yeah.
It's totally insane.
But we should forget that we're fighting those guys in Afghanistan, and we've been over there for 10 years and we haven't even pulled out of here, you know, but now we're going to give them, you know, you can't even get a permit for a hunting rifle in the United States. But, if you're going to go after a government that the, United States wants to get out of power, they'll send you, surface to air missiles, no strings attached. Yeah. These guys are great. Let's see. Fired Inspector General for discovering that Obama's friend had embezzled government funds.
That would never happen.
Yeah,
reward only once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, lied about. He told everybody he was going to put healthcare negotiations on C-SPAN. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll all be transparent. We'll negotiate right on C-SPAN, or not.
Except you can't see through it, like the clip earlier. You know.
Lied about people being able to keep their healthcare insurance. This is an oversight. No.
She's on hold.
Okay, we're on hold.
We're waiting. We're in the holding pattern, folks, so just bear with us.
We're only on number 24. We could do this for quite some time. Lied about the cost of Obamacare. He said it was going to save everybody money.
Except it's costing everybody.
Did anybody with a half a brain even think that that was true when he said it? I mean, come on. You got to be kidding me. We're going to cover 30 more million people, he says, which we aren't, by the way, going to cover at the end of the day anyway. We're still going to be short that with all these other costs. But you're going to cover 30 more million people, and it's going to cost everybody less?
Right.
Yeah.
And less doctors. The doctors are dropping out of that like crazy that you know, there's no way.
I especially like the grape Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah. So he gave tax dollars to campaign contributors and lobbyists and falsely claimed the money was for green energy. These guys, and nobody does anything because he's got his little, our gang guy, Eric Holder over there in the Justice Department, head of everything. And hey, the rules don't matter. Law, what's that? The rule of law. Oh, that doesn't matter.
Well, they don't know about it. Doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, it's all good. Let's see. Had off the record meetings with lobbyists. That's actually illegal, to have off the record meetings with lobbyists at or near the White House. He won't reveal. Now he's saying that those sign-in sheets at the White House of the guests.
Somebody forged it?
No, what he's saying is he doesn't have to reveal who they were to the public. That's executive privilege.
Really?
Yeah, let's see.
It's just one thing after another.
Oh, yeah, here's a good one. This is number 28. Had armed SWAT agents raid a law-abiding guitar factory because it was owned by a Republican.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah, that was Gibson Guitar Factory. Yeah. I think it's in Louisiana, I believe. Yeah, we'll just raid them because, hey, they supported a Republican. Oh, you know, isn't that kind of like the IRS going after all of the Tea Party guys? And, you know, no, they would never do that.
Yeah,
and,
you know, I heard somebody told me that one of their relatives, that actually happened over food, and I believe it was Utah.
Maybe.
That they came in, and they were a supplier of food storage, and they came in, SWAT came in with guns drawn and everything, and wanted their list to who they were supplying to.
Well, and you know, you got Lois Lerner coming out this last week, her email saying that, yeah, she lied. And, yeah.
So just promote me and give me more money and send me in a different department and I'll be good.
I think there's going to be a prosecution starting to happen there, and who knows, maybe the birds will start singing. But of course none of this could ever connect to the White House. I heard this pundit on the,
they don't know anything that, you know, they would never be involved in anything.
Listen to any one of the Democrats on any of the major media. It's like, yeah, well you can't connect any of this to the White House. Well, how much do we got to connect to the White House with a pattern here? I mean, after a while, it's like you don't actually have to see the guy stab the guy in the alley. He's standing over the guy in the alley with the knife. It's bloody, and nobody saw it, so he didn't do it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So
I think we have our guests on the line. Andrew Guz, are you there?
I am indeed. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Fabulous. Couldn't be better.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Good, good, good. I'm pulling up your website here to kind of give you an introduction here. And we're kind of doing the tap dance here. You've been on the program before, Andrew. So you're really into auditing the Fed, and I was looking at, I got your website pulled up here, and you do a radio show, oneradionetwork.com, and you got a lot of stuff going on, and you've been involved in this, paper money, exposure of the perpetrators, I believe would be the best way to probably say it. Anyway, go ahead, Andy.
Well, I argue for a different way to issue money. You know, we can fix a lot of the societal ills by taking back the power to coin money.
Right. Well, that's what the Constitution says, that Congress has the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof. It didn't say anything about printing unbacked scrip. I guess that's okay with the private bank.
Well, you know, that's the issue right there, the private bank part. See, I'll get in conversations with contemporaries and colleagues who believe, well, there shouldn't be anything but commodity money. You know, gold coins, silver coins, that's it. Congress says what a dollar is, and then everyone is free to make contracts based on that. So I can say I owe you $10 at some point in the future and know exactly what I have to pay you.
Yeah, there's
without a standard of money, you don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think we got to go to
a
break.
Yeah, unfortunately, we need to go to a break real quick here. Just hang on, if you would. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Me and Sue, but I do. Don't know that I will, but until I can find a girl to stay, won't play games behind me, but I'll be what I am, a solitary man, solitary man.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar.
Join me, Paul Preston, Monday through Fridays from 10 a.m. to noon for Agenda 21 Radio, right here on KCNR 1460 AM. And visit our website at agenda21radio.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Spring Water. Did you know our spring water originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural. Mount Shasta Spring Water is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Thank you.
back. Sovereign Mind Radio, watching the surfers play. We're playing Pipeline. We're here with Andrew Goss from AndrewGoss.com. And basically, I think Andrew's focus is on education of the United States money system, the Federal Reserve, private banks, debt, cash, credit cards, and personal privacy, and more. That comes off his website, AndyGoss.com. And so where were we at, Andy? I apologize today. I woke up with a headache, and I'm still kind of trying to, you know, muddle my way through it here after four or five ibuprofen. So I apologize.
You know, I got the same one. It must be a seasonal thing.
I think it must be. Either that is what they're spraying overhead at the...
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't be
a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So let's
talk. I think we were talking about something that most people don't understand. That's the nature of money. And we started out our nation with a commodity money, gold and silver coin. Well, we switched to fiduciary money, where I owe you gold and silver coin. You remember the old silver certificate?
Yeah, that would be the gold. That would be the gold standard, basically, is what you're saying.
Well, it is, but you know, you have an expanded money supply because obviously, if I write you, I owe you $10, 10 silver dollars, or a $10 gold coin, it's obvious that I don't have it.
Right,
and so. We are expanding the money supply. You're giving me whatever goods or services I'm taking from you, and I'm giving you a note, an IOU, $10. And this allows us to expand the money supply and operate on credit in an uncentralized basis. And generally speaking, when everyone is forced to take their own credit risk, they're going to be a little more careful than the guy who's writing a mortgage and then selling it into a pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I'm
yeah.
going to know you. You're going to know me. And whether or not we're good for the $10, that's something you and I will determine. And I argue that the market is much more efficient at that than individuals. I think that's the argument of a great many of those who feel that way, that if we had commodity money and then obviously moving to fiduciary money, that's where we're writing notes to each other, and anyone has the power to issue notes. But the moment they can't pay them, then the fraud is revealed. And they go to jail or what have you, and we move on with our lives. But
right.
to have it all centralized, which is where we wound up, with a central authority responsible for the fiduciary money. That was the Federal Reserve's job in 1913, was to take all of the commodity money, essentially put it in a vault, and then issue notes, the fiduciary money. Okay, you can bring your note to the Federal Reserve at any time. They'll cash it for real money, gold and silver coin. And they're responsible, so they're not going to issue more than they should. But well, unfortunately, that's exactly what they did.
Well, since then, we've even gotten farther away off track, you know, since Nixon took us off the gold standard completely. You know, it used to be they
right.
were kind of hedging on the gold standard. Instead of having one for $1 for gold, you know, it got to 5-1 and so forth. Now we don't have any, so we're in a completely debt-based system. They're borrowing the money into existence. And
right. Now, that's the jump, I think, from the fiduciary money, where I owe you a certain thing, right, a dollar of silver or a dollar of gold. The jump there from fiduciary money to fiat money, money that is only issued by edict. And I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with the nature of fiat money. I understand that it is inflationary, that it erodes the value of the unit over time. But to me... Like, let's say we have right now a $17 trillion money supply, and our government spends $1 trillion a year. I think that rather than collecting it from us in the form of an income tax, which is very intrusive, they should just be allowed to create another $1 trillion and put it into circulation. I mean, it's no less inflationary, but you're right. The way they do it now is they write a bond. I owe you $1 trillion. They let the Federal Reserve create the $1 trillion and then loan it to the Congress. It's absolutely insane.
Well, but with that, with a, you know, my understanding is that there's never been a fiat currency that has ever survived. Sooner or later, what it does is the government just keeps overspending and inflating everybody's currency. And it's a way of, it's basically a wealth distribution mechanism from the people to the government. You know, even if you cut out the Federal Reserve, you're still going to have some real problems. And I believe a collapse sooner or later. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I do not. I'm sorry. For me, they'll never collapse unless they run out of zeros. You know, because intergenerationally, the people that remember what a dollar was, they die, and then the next generation comes along. So I never thought I'd be the old guy saying, you know, when I started my first job, I was getting $1 an hour, 4 silver quarters. And today, 4 silver quarters worth about $20. So intergenerationally, the meaning of that inflation is lost. And a physics guy will tell you, you know, you can move two objects closer together and they can theoretically never touch, even if you take up half the distance between. So as long as the Fed is willing to create as much money as is necessary to keep the system going, it's not going to matter how many zeros are on the end of our transactions. You know, we go into the future 100 years and kids will think it's perfectly normal to pay $200 for a cup of coffee. It is lost intergenerationally.
But don't you believe that with that kind of inflation that our standard of living is being eroded because you can't have people's income keep up with that kind of inflation, especially if it becomes if it becomes rapid due to direct monetization from the Fed or whatever, who's ever printing the money, then, you know, doesn't that in itself cause a collapse in the economy?
Well, it causes, you're right, a loss in the standard of living. You know, the distance between the 99% and the 1% just keeps getting wider and wider. And if we compare that first job of mine at a buck an hour, four silver quarters, $20, effectively, today, you get a starting job, you're lucky to get $8 an hour. So your wage is essentially half of what it was. And for me, what I've, you know, when I look at the North and the South, the Civil War, well, it seems to me that the North coveted that system of slavery in place in the South and found a way to nationalize the entire affair.
Right.
So I think we're all slaves. There's no question about it.
Well, in a debt-based money system, I think that's inevitable because, you know, I can see your points here because, right now the problem is we've got a private bank. If the government itself was just issuing the currency, we wouldn't have this huge debt. We would have inflation, but there would be no debt.
We would have the interest.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'd have the interest.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying $400 billion a year in interest for our own damn money. That just doesn't seem right to me. It's like if you won the lottery and you hand your checkbook with the lottery payment to a friend and you say, here, write me a check. I'll just borrow the money every time I need it. That's insane. It's an insane way to do it. There's one of two things we can do. We can either make banks private, leave the system private like it is, and say, okay, but you have to maintain 100% deposit reserves. So if someone has a dollar in your bank, you have to hold that dollar. You can't go and bet on red in Las Vegas and then complain that you lost the money. No, you have to save that dollar. Well, we can't do that. Then what good is having a bank? Simple. You can borrow whatever reserves you need from the Treasury of the United States at interest.
Right.
Now, this is outlined more effectively in the Chicago plan from the late 1920s, if anyone wants to check it out. But it's effectively having switching roles with the Fed, right? In 1913, they took over as the central bank, and they had zero, nothing. And today, their balance sheet shows like $4 trillion in assets.
And climbing.
While we were the biggest creditor nation when they took over, now we're the biggest debtor. So let's reverse roles. Let's have Congress and the Treasury issue the money, and the Fed borrow it from the Treasury at interest and have to maintain 100% reserves. At least that would start a flow of money into the Treasury instead of out of the Treasury and into the banks.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, like you say, is that you got this private bank, you know, and what they're doing right now is they're taking and they're borrowing this money through the Treasuries and so forth, and they're getting the money for virtually no interest, and then they're, you know, betting in the World Casino. If they win, they keep the money. If they lose, then what they do is they get a bailout. You know, I think a bail-in is what's going to be coming, but they get a bailout, and then so what they're doing is they're basically shifting their liabilities off their balance sheet onto the balance sheet of the United States government, the people, to be responsible for their lack of business structure, savvy,
yeah,
whatever you want to call
right.
it.
Well, they know full well they're gambling. You hit it right on the head. If they lose, then they write the losses off through a bailout or a bail-in. But if they win, they keep the profit and they go about their business. So that's absolutely a correct assessment. And, you know, Santayana said that. Those that fail to study history or whatever, doomed to repeat it. I think it's a paraphrase. But if you look at 1929, when that whole crash occurred for the very same reason, right? So we gave the Fed the power to issue money in 1913. they promptly issued four times as much paper as they had gold and silver to back it up in order to back their buddies in England in their misguided World War One. Then eventually dragged us into it. Bottom line, we printed four times as much money as we had gold and silver coin, and the Roaring Twenties brought all that money back into the economy from Europe and gave us an inflationary cycle. Well, because they couldn't pay their notes in gold, that's when the system crashed, collapsed. And we know what happened after that, but at the end of the game in 1934, Congress said, we're going to separate investment banking from commercial banking. So you're either going to borrow money from depositors and leave it invested with depositors, home mortgages and things like that, or you're an investment bank and you gather up money through investors and through borrowing of your bank's power, and you go and gamble. You do underwriting of stocks and you bring issues public and you buy futures, whatever you want to do. It's your business. That's an investment bank. And they forced the banks to decide. And for 70 years, it really kept them in check because they didn't have access to the depositors' money. Once Bill Clinton signed off on that with the blessing of Alan Greenspan and Larry Summers,
right.
then the investment banks, the ones that gamble, were free to use the depositors' money as part of their investment pool. And quite honestly, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
They lost the money, obviously.
Listen,
well,
let's come back. We
got
to go to Andrew. We got to go to a short break here, and then we come back. Let's talk about that some more, because in light of some recent news coming out with these whistleblowers and J.P. Morgan, it sounds like the CFTC wants to stop the banks from being able to use people's deposits as investments. I don't hold a lot of hope here, but let's talk about that when we get back.
All right. This is KCNR 1460.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. That number again is 244-7873.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Growing Local, Healthy Shasta, and the First United Methodist Church invite the community to a free film screening of Participant Media's highly acclaimed documentary, A Place at the Table, on Saturday, September 21st at 6 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church, 1825 East Street in downtown Reading. This gripping documentary will raise awareness about the growing issues of hunger and poverty in America. Following will be a short discussion of local hunger issues. For more information, call 355-9683.
Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be friend of mine.
Back, Sovereign Mind Radio, and we're talking with our guest Andy Gause, and
uh-oh,
maybe we lost him. Andy, are you there?
We'll get him back here.
Getting
hopefully
back on here, we'll talk about this whistleblower stuff and what's going on with the bullion banks, and you know, the banks basically becoming investment banks is the biggest problem, and I think everybody agrees with that. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on. Have we got him back on?
Yep, I believe we do.
Okay, very good, Andy. Well, I guess we lost you there for a second.
Was it something I said?
No, you're good with us.
Oh, okay, good.
You're right at home here.
You know, I talk about the Fed and boom, the line goes.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Well, listen, did you hear about what happened with Andrew McGuire supposedly having these two J.P. Morgan whistleblowers come out, and they say they've got hard evidence now that they were manipulating the gold and silver markets, and the CFTC is now talking about prosecuting and filing charges this month. Do you know anything about that at all?
You know, I've heard that rumor several times before, and to those of us inside, we understand that the bullion banks of the world, understanding already what fractional banking was,
mm-hmm.
right, once gold and silver were detached from money, to suggest that they didn't fractionalize it after that is absurd.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like they would, you know, for 200 years they've been banks and they kept an ounce of gold for every $20 bill that they issued. And then all of a sudden we removed the standard and now they're going to be honest. They're going to, for every gold contract for 10 ounces, they're going to have 10 ounces of gold.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, they've been selling and reselling and selling and reselling and rehypothecating.
Right.
Yeah. We don't even know to what extent that is, but,
well, I've heard, you know, ranges from 45 to 1 to 200 to 1. I even had one gentleman tell me it's 400 to 1. I've described it variously as, you know, a four-sided room. You got four walls in the room. Each wall has a glass pane, and in the center is a pile of gold. And they rotate people into their glass pane. You know, there's your pile of gold there in the middle. Okay,
yeah.
Great. What's that guy across the way? What's he looking at?
Yeah, you can't have it. You can't have any of it. You know, it's like Germany saying, "Hey, we want our gold back," and they go, "Well, no."
No, right. And we'll have to have a talk about that in private at the next G20 meeting. You know, because right now you could say that, but don't. Don't actually do it.
Yeah, that's
a problem. So certainly, for those of us who understand, they have done the same thing with the gold bullion market that they did when it was money. And they've issued more contracts than there is actual gold and silver to back it up. And so at one point, something has to give. Now, this is the important element of that, is because when people buy gold or silver these days, they have no intention of actually taking possession of it for the most part. Their intent is to gamble on the price. So, and J.P. Morgan and the others, they understand this. So as long as they're allowed to pay up the difference between what they issued the contract for and what it is at the time of settlement, then they can simply create the money and pay. So a cost of doing business for them, obviously, they drove the price down to $1,180 in the case of gold just recently through a series of unlimited sells until the market simply collapsed, and they owed that gold at $1,180. Well, now here we are in settlement month, 3 months later, and gold is, say, $1,300. They're more than willing to come up with the extra $120.
Sure.
In order to quell the market. This is what their end result is, because let's face it, gold and silver are every man's inflation indicator.
Well, you know something, that brings up a good point here too, because the COMEX has been looks like it's been drained, according to the sources. You know, it's being drained.
That's correct.
And the London bullion market. At some point in time, are we going to see the paper unravel? Because when people that are in the know are asking for their physical delivery. Is that going to be a problem? And are you going to see the price separate from the paper to the physical? And those in possession of the physical are going to see huge gains as opposed to the people that are holding paper?
Well, we see that now. We certainly are seeing the effects of that in what we affectionately call junk silver, coin silver. You know, after silver coins are used or not collectible, they're simply thrown in a bag and sold for their silver content. And for years and years, I've recommended to clients of mine that they buy these bags of silver and just stack them up, you know, as a hedge against inflation. Well, suddenly we find ourselves paying $3 and $4 an ounce over silver for the very same coins. There is already a disconnect, although a minor one, between physical delivery silver and, oh, I can owe you silver and pay you next year? Well, and you know,
yeah.
Have as much as you want. Oh, you want to actually buy physical silver out of a bag? Well, that's going to be a little harder. And so we're already seeing that. But this is the thing that I fear the most, is that the exchange-traded firms, GLD and SLV, will be the warehouse that will allow them to quell. So my fear is that everyone who thinks they've invested in gold by buying GLD will suddenly find the holdings of GLD hypothecated and replaced.
Yep.
With an IOU, the gold that we just borrowed to quell this market. To suggest for a moment that they're going to sit by and allow the gold market to explode while they have access to the biggest pile of gold on earth and it belongs to individual investors, no, they won't do that. They'll rob GLD and SLV. They'll
yep.
both become the scene of a crime because they will just take that gold and use it to quell the market for
it. If they're not, if they haven't done that already.
Yeah. You know, you're so right there. I may be, of course, predicting the past. They may have already done it.
So what I see is I see a huge inflationary cycle coming, and I see people that aren't holding any precious metals. They're not going to have any safe investments anywhere, and it looks to me like that's what's coming, and that's the storm I'm trying to inform people of, is that you need to be mm-hmm. holding physical protection in the forms of these metals, because the value is in the metals themselves, not the pieces
right.
of paper. So is that what you see as the solution to what's coming?
Well, I do see that as a problem. You know, hyperinflation, the way many people talk, like, you know, the 54 Hungarian experience or the recent Zimbabwe experience, or even if you go back to Weimar or further back, there have been instances of governments getting their way out of these situations by hyperinflating their currency to the point of worthlessness, where, you know, a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread, that sort of thing. And I don't see that as happening to Dollar Inc. You know, they've spent 100 years building this brand. They have a 70% market share. They have F-16s and Marines to sort of back up their play. And so I don't see them going anywhere. I don't see a threat to the dollar. What I do see is slow, steady inflation that will make Jimmy Carter blush, because that 77 to 80 experience where we had like 17, 18, 19% annual inflation, that was painful. Anyone who went through that remembers. And that's all it takes, if you think about it. We issued three times as much money as we had debt. So effectively, there was $45 trillion worth of money and $45 trillion worth of debt, $15 trillion in money. And I'm talking at the hard level, not the derivatives market. So what do? You either bust the system out and pay everyone 30 cents on the dollar. That's what they did in the Depression, classic deflationary depression. Or you triple the money supply, which is where I think they're going. So we've already added $4 trillion. So that means that sometime over the next 12 to 15 years, we have to get the money supply up to $45 trillion so that strain of debt is not breaking the system. And I think they'll manage that through 8 to 10% annual inflation in the beginning, running up probably to 15 to 20 by the end, but certainly being broken by higher interest rates. So again, look at the cycle 77 to 80 and you'll see exactly where we are right now. It's like 1976.
I believe it. I think it's going to probably get worse because what do you think about the BRICS in the Middle East and replacing
that's where it's going to start.
Yeah, the dollar, yeah. Replacing the dollar as the world reserve currency and the petrodollar. It seems like
I don't see that. Not even a remote chance, because if you look at the BRIC countries, let's look at India right now. You have gold prices in India right now as high as they've ever been. Record prices ever in the history of time. And why is that? Well, that's because as quick as an Indian gets their hands on a rupee, they convert it into gold. And so the value of that rupee is now forced to rely on the open market. What are investors doing that don't want gold in India? They're selling the rupee and buying dollars. And we see this every time there's any sort of a crisis, this perverse, you know, the cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry, everyone runs to the dollar as a safe haven. When the trouble broke out in Syria, when the trouble broke out in Asia, you know, every time there's a rumble somewhere, people
I'm
run
sorry,
to the
Andy,
dollar for
we're,
safety.
We're running out of time. We want to thank you very much for coming on, and we would love to have you back in the future and continue this information out there for the people. But they're going to cut us off here real shortly, so I want to thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Andy. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to KCNR 1460 in Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. After 3 days of talks described as hard-fought, Secretary of State John Kerry and Russia's foreign minister say there's an agreement on how and when Syria will end its chemical weapons program. The deal calls for a complete accounting within a week and the weapons removal or destruction next year.
If Syrian President Bashar al-Assad fails to comply, or if chemical weapons are again used in Syria, the matter will be taken up by the UN Security Council, the parties agreed, under the so-called Chapter 7 authority, which could result in the use of force if approved by the Council. However, Secretary Kerry maintained that President Obama will separately reserve the right to use unilateral force by the U.S. military. Traveling with the Secretary of State in Geneva, Switzerland, James Rosen, Fox News Radio.
A suicide bombing at a funeral kills at least 15 people near Mosul, Iraq. That attack targeting members of an ethnic minority in the northern part of the country. People by the hundreds are getting rescued in Colorado, towns cut off by flooding.
We have hundreds of rescuers from a number of states here now.